This is Cultural Passions. I'm Dermot McIntyre, and today we're on Nicholas Street in the heart of Limerick's medieval quarter, one of the oldest streets in the city, here at John's Castle. And we're here to talk with three people who have a different take on what culture can mean in Limerick today.
Hi, I'm Justyna Swodzińska. I'm Polish. I came to Limerick 9 years ago from Wrocław. I'm a founder of Polish Arts Festival that came into existence in 2007. We are on our 8th edition as a part of Made in Limerick project by City of Culture.
My name is Evan Kennedy. I'm an artist living in Limerick. I'm originally from Maru. I've been involved in Limerick Pride Festival for several years. I'm probably better known as my drag alter ego, Madonna Lucia. At the moment, I am working with comic book imagery, pop cultural stuff, all kinds of crazy stuff like that.
Hi, I'm Paul Tarpey. I work in the Limerick School of Art and Design, and I have an arts practice that's focused on social archive work in Limerick, with a particular focus on the music scenes that have happened from the 60s to the 90s.
For the three of you, your work is outside of the mainstream. It's not what we necessarily think of as mainstream culture.
I think the people who work on the edges of these things don't see themselves really as outsiders. They don't kind of have that identity to deal with, just mainly because they're so busy. They recognise that what they do is seen by what would be constituted as the mainstream as outsiders. But that mainstream that was comfortably used years ago is fractured now.
Justyna, when you would have set up the Polish Arts Festival, in its very early days, did you find there was an acceptance of the need for a festival?
I'd say at that time, there was an acceptance for Polish people to come out and show themselves as not only good workers and contributors to the economy, but also people that are very sensitive and have an input into their culture to showcase themselves.
You had a lot of hidden cultural practices going on.
A lot of Poles, very talented people, working at home, creating beautiful art just for themselves, working in day jobs like McDonald's, things like that. We wanted to show those people, show community that is thriving. That was the urge that was there.
And Paul, one of the things that you've been doing as a social archivist is documenting those hidden cultures that perhaps haven't received the attention that other more mainstream cultures have gotten.
Well, if we look across the road here, we'll see a nondescript yellow building. And in 1969, three youth from Dublin came down and they set up a communist bookshop. And they lasted a short time, but in that time they made a huge impact, because the mayor of the Limerick at the time, Stevie Coughlin, was pretty much on the Catholic line of things, and basically they ran out of town. Those youth had a similar community in Limerick at the time, who were listening to the Rolling Stones, who had got this countercultural energy. And they made their own clothes and they went out in the streets as this new generation. There's no monument to that.
You've been exploring one particular location where there was an underground club.
Yes, a beat club. It was started and really pushed through by the Limerick youth, who didn't want to go to the dance halls, who didn't want to sit down and be kind of paired off. They wanted to be equal, and they wanted to listen to the music they wanted. So in Post Office Lane, in the middle of the town, there was a place called the Go-Go Club. All the artefacts and the on the walls, the graffiti, the marks made by the actual youth of the time, the 60s and the 70s before it closed, is still there. And the more you talk about this, someone will say, they'll bring you in a picture of them in the Go-Go Club, which is like gold, you know?
It's interesting because Paul's talking about music culture and everything else, and I'd assumed that that would be going over like decades and spans of time. Whereas when I first came on to what's tentatively known as the gay scene in Limerick, that was 2002 for me, clubs and stuff that ran had maybe a lifespan of 2 to 3 years. There's places that don't exist anymore. Bar 3, Quinn's, Cosmos used to run the back of Quinn's. I mean, Quinn's was just such a focal point for anyone that was not into the mainstream in the 90s. You know, you had your metalers going in there, your hippies, your ravers, you know, and then we had the gays out the back once a week. And there's whole pockets of history that are gone. They've just vanished. Friends of mine from Limerick LGBT have tentatively started gathering photographs, working on an archive.
We're just outside King John's Castle. It's the original centre of Limerick, a Limerick that now holds so many diverse cultures. We might actually head inside. We're now in the Undercroft. It's a quietish space under the castle. You've got the castle courtyard is up above us here. Have you been in here before?
I have, but only when very, very long time ago.
And when you'd have come, Justina, you're coming with hundreds of years of Polish culture, and then you land with all of that cultural heritage into a place like Limerick. Is that a challenge to sort of almost take on two cultures?
Identity is a big thing for every nation, I'd say. Coming to Ireland didn't mean that I abandoned my identity and who I am. Raising my children here, extremely important aspect of that is to inject them with the tradition that we come from and the tradition that we have, to make it clear that to them who they are. I think it will be an issue for them when they grow up. There'll be questions about that because they were Irish born to Polish parents.
And Paul, you described yourself earlier as a cross-generational artist. Are some of those same factors that Justina is talking about bringing a next generation into contact with the culture of previous generations, perhaps sometimes hidden cultures of previous generations, is that a core part of your work?
Oh yeah, that's. I mean, identity is key no matter which platform you look on it, generational or not.
Do you link artists of the previous generation with the next generation?
Yes, we do. We do for a project I did for EVA International called Making the Cut. We linked participants in the 60s, 70s scene with participants who were in the Limerick Youth Services. We give them a presentation showing what it was like in the 60s. We start a dialogue between the two, and it comes down to something like long hair, people creating their own look and stuff like that, and we found identical things. We had a performance with slideshows, lights, the whole kind of thing to make it kind of atmospheric. We had specific music for the event based from the youth club.
Would you feel, Evan, yourself, that you're following in the footsteps of history?
You always have to respect what came before. And definitely as a drag performer on the gay scene, that's a huge thing. It has been part of counterculture. Anyone working with Pride, it always comes back to Stonewall and the Stonewall riots in New York. People now that are very comfortable with LGBT people, gay society, Pride festivals, and even gay people themselves are saying, why are there drag queens at these things? You know, I don't identify with this. Why is there a guy in a dress? And they don't read or know their history of how this started, and started because people that went out like that were sick of being harassed. And that's where the whole Pride movement came from.
In each of the traditions that you've been working in, you're working on the one level about asserting a sense of uniqueness and asserting a right for that uniqueness to have its place, and that's balanced with wanting that uniqueness to be accepted.
I think with everybody, whether it's a music experience or their gender or, you know, their nationality, everyone just wants the freedom to walk down the street and not be hassled. So, like, if I walk down the street and, you know, with my Polish t-shirt on, wearing pink heels, listening to death metal, I shouldn't expect to get hassle from people. You know, it shouldn't bother people. What are you doing? It should be like, oh, well, there goes somebody really cool.
I think what's built into a lot of this kind of work is to educate people in the notions of complexity. Binary opposites exist because people just don't question them enough. And in Ireland, if you did question, you were just told to leave the country. From the 50s onwards, all the people that were progressive were just said, well, I want to be progressive, but I've got to find my own identity. I'm not going to find it here, so I better go, which left a dirt, cultural dirt, in the country for many, many years.
You see that people that come from different background and would be considered not mainstream thing, they would support you. And the mainstreamers would look at you saying, OK, I'll watch what you're going to be doing and maybe I'll accept it in a year time or 2 years or give you some recognition.
You know, it should be like, tomorrow is Africa Day. Great. You know, next week is Polish Day. The week after, it's for the Girl Guides. You know, let's have something on. So, you know, people go, oh, there's something on, there's a bit of a buzz, there's a reason to go into town, there's a reason to go into the city.
You know, complexity is something to be enjoyed. I mean, you know, you can go to different nights and experience different things rather than just putting one person on one stage to deliver one thing. Culture is something to be engaged with.
That's true.
If it's not engaged with it, it's basically consumerism.
It's becoming sometimes a strife, trying to find means to communicate with people and how to get the message out there, interest them enough. Yeah, this is something I want to experience. This is something I want to attend. This is something I want to take part.
The strength, I think, of the city culture at the moment is that after Carl Wallace put through 109 projects, and people can get a sense, finally, that the amount of activity and energy that's possible to do and carry out in the town, when people process that, what happened, it will put a basis for an easier way of saying what culture is. Reposition that word culture again as something that's open for people, and I think this year will show that. You know,
we're in the undercroft here of King John's Castle. It's a really dark space. The foundations, though, of what would one day become Limerick City overground are all around us. But we might actually head overground ourselves. Maybe we'll head into the light. I'd actually take a walk up to the battlements just to take a final look over this place that all three of you have come to call home. Has the cultural practices that you've been involved in, is that also about helping create a sense of community?
Well, for myself, for Polish Arts Festival, definitely that would be a key, creating the sense of community, letting people know that we are here and we are strong as well, we are thriving.
I think Limerick's a great place for blow-ins, actually, you know. I'm from Mayo, I'm from the country of Mayo, and cities to me were places where you'd surround yourself with issues. Well, I'm interested in that, so I'll go to that. Issues can be discussed and talked about, and a community builds around that.
Can I get this?
We've come up to the battlements of King John's Castle. We've got the Shannon and the Corrigower Falls just below us. It's a phenomenal sight. We can see St. Mary's Cathedral, John's Cathedral, Thomond Park. Would you feel very much a part of Limerick culture?
What's starting to happen is that we become impossible to ignore, and you just have to acknowledge our existence on the cultural map of Limerick.
What I find in the last couple of years now, particularly in city culture, is people more talking about their confidence in what they do. I don't really hear people saying, what's that for? What are you doing that for? There's none of that as such, like, you know.
Limerick, for me, has always been a very welcoming place for what we call the other.
I mean, what's jumping out at me now is just some graffiti over there, which is finally great that we're seeing decent street art and stuff like that in Limerick. People are responding to it and saying, oh, that's really nice, I like that, or I never noticed that wall before. And it's bringing people to the city to see it. You know, they're going around, they're photographing it. I think you get more people in, the more the merrier. It makes a party.
With the time to come, we will be part of the mainstream, and that won't be even considered something underground. People will open up their mind to diversity.
You've spent years battling funding crises, demanding that there be spaces for these, documenting social history. Why do you do it?
I'm an artist because that's who I am. I would get a headache if I didn't make something today. So I have to vent that and express it in some way, make, shape or form. Culture isn't just an economic reward. And when people actually stop and think about it, they go, all right, okay, it's more than statistics, it's more than money. It's the soul and the spirit and identity and people.
Yeah, I'd see myself in a cog in a wheel. As someone who's worked in education for 20 years, you see the energy of students coming through and the potential of how they deal with the generation they work in. And so they come out with all this energy, and I do take part in something that is at that transitional form, and it's constantly fascinating for me.
We do it for passion, we do it for our community, we do it for ourselves. I do it to have the energy to live. It boosts me with such energy to just get up in the morning and live my life. And I need it, I essentially need it for living.